It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Number two, we are live from the Valspar Championship. We are poolside at Frenchie's, and we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Michelob Ultra, one of the sponsors up here. They got all kinds of Michelob Ultra party places all over the grounds, joined by John Rager, and of course, to my right, Bill Buttner, the proud North Carolina Tar Heel. Let's go up to North Carolina right now, and he's kind enough to stick around after we had that dual conversation. And he is Adam Woodard. He is the assistant editor at Golf Week magazine. And so, how many? You must know every writer in the country, my man.
You know, when you cover the various different sports like I have over the last decade, you get to meet some very interesting people and. I'm not going to lie, I was sitting there on hold, and all of a sudden I heard Bob Herring, and I just started laughing, you know. If I'm going to get bumped by anybody, it better be by Bobby. So I can at least appreciate that, but it's good to still be here, boys. How we doing?
Great. You had intended to be here. As you look at day one, I'm sure you've been following it down here at Innsbruck. Your thoughts right now on that leaderboard?
Not too bad. Yeah, there are some. Obviously, this is probably one of the better fields that the Valspar's had in a while now, and you see a lot of the names kind of played pretty well. I thought, you know, watching Keith Mitchell early on, I thought we could be ready for a potential 59 watch or something. The way he was grooving, Cashmere Keith was smooth as silk here today. But yeah, I think it's important. I know you guys kind of briefly talked about it before Bobby jumped on, but I think it's important that you see some of these bigger names play well. But I also think it's important that, you know, the tour doesn't lose. That kind of, you know, anybody, if you can string around four rounds together, can come out and compete here. So I think it's great that for the storytelling, looking at the leaderboard, seeing who's there. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see one of the bigger names kind of stick around for a little bit longer on the weekend.
Well, you know, Adam, we follow you on Golf Week USA Today, and you had some great articles out there. And one of them is, it's a fun article. A lot of times, you know, we guys put you on the spot, especially with you and Bob earlier in the program there, talking about LIV Golf and that kind of stuff. But one of the big events coming up in the world of golf is the Masters. And one of the big, big things is the Masters dinner. And we were reading your article. It made me really hungry about the...
I didn't see. What is the layout this year, fellas?
The menu for the dinner menu for the Masters dinner. So why don't you embellish upon that and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, John, you know, talked about it a little bit earlier on in that day, actually with a conference call with some media members who will be covering the Masters that I was lucky enough to listen in on. He opened up, and they probably talked about it for the first 5 minutes, talking about his menu, and I was starving, even though I had just had breakfast. But it's really kind of cool, you know, the Masters Champion Dinner every Tuesday of Masters Week. The previous winner gets to host with everybody, and then also any of the living... you know, Augusta National Chairman go as well. They've been made honorary members, so they get to go, which is pretty cool. But John's kind of taking it on his own, and he's given us a little bit of Spanish flair, which I love. You know, it's a lot of it is from his, you know, northern Basque region of Spain. He's starting off with a bunch of appetizers that all, I can't pronounce half of them, but they all sound incredible. He's got a main course of some, he's got a local fish that's there, and then this big steak that he talked about searing the steak, and you have to do it the right way or else you get a little side eye over in Spain. Which I thought was fun. But the coolest part is he's got this wine that is a part of his family that he's going to be having. That's what he's going to be serving to people there. And also a dessert dish from his grandmother, I believe, was also in the mix. So he's adding his own Spanish flair, which you love to see. Not sure if guys like, you know, Bubba Watson and some of those guys are going to be, you know, ordering off of his menu. They might be going off the normal Augusta menu. Bubba's kind of well known for not exactly enjoying, you know, fine cuisine and all that. But, it's definitely one of the more interesting dinner menus we've seen in quite some time for the Masters, that's for sure.
You know, Adam, in the X-verse, they used to call it the Twitterverse, but now in the X-verse out there.
I can't keep up with all this BS.
Well, that's okay. You know what?
I'm a dead dinosaur.
Yeah, we'll do a shameless plug here. On the Tee Florida Golf, at On the Tee Florida Golf, you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, and Instagram, and Threads. So you can find us out there.
You lost me.
Out there in the cyber world out there, somebody asked a question. I didn't know how to answer it. And I'm going to ask you this question. Is the past champion, I mean from the previous year, you know, the defending champion, are they required to actually pay for this out of their own pocket?
I believe so. I've never gotten that officially confirmed, but that seems
seriously?
To be, you know.
Yeah,
so,
seriously. They got to pay for, the Master Champ has to pay for the meal?
Yep, and they kind of cover a lot of that as well. From what I understand, obviously can't confirm that, but that seems to be, you know, the running tale. It's tough to get a lot of straight answers out of the Green Jackets for some stuff like that, believe it or not. But you know, it was kind of cool. You know, he had a famous chef kind of talked it over with the Augusta people for how he wants things to be done. He kind of had to take over the planning of it. He kind of joked that, you know, it's a bit more than he thought, you know, kind of bit off a little bit more he could chew with some of it, pun intended there. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know, that they have to kind of pay for it, but seeing the paycheck that they get for winning that event, you know, I don't think these guys are really hurting for it, you know?
Well, before the broadcast came on, you know, Bill Butner and I, you know, we were talking about some of the things right on the top of our mind about the world of golf, and just we what came to our mind, not really, was the Summer Olympics in golf. I didn't even think about it until I started looking at your articles this week. We knew we were going to talk to you on the radio show a little bit. We love the articles you do on Golf Week USA Today, and you've got an article about the Olympics this summer in Paris. And we have no earthly idea how you qualify for that, and who's going to play and who's not going to play. So educate us.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the Olympics does it interesting to make sure that you're not just getting, you know, the top 200 or so players. You know, I think they're, you know, upwards of the 60 players that are going to be in the field. I think 13 of them, you know, are currently ranked outside of the top 200 in the world in the official world golf ranking. But the long story short, and the simple gist of it is, it's 60 players. They, for the most part, use the official world golf ranking to do it. And every country is allowed two players, unless you have four. You can have up to four as long as they're all in the top 15 in the world. So the United States is the only country that has four as of right now. The period to qualify ends the second week of June, which is about, you know, month and a half before, you know, T-balls will be in the air at Le Golf National in Paris, which I was lucky enough to go to for the Ryder Cup that was there a few years ago. Actually, the first golf event I ever covered was the 2018 Ryder Cup in Paris. How about that?
Wow, so not too bad for a rookie, huh?
Not too bad. If you kiss enough butt, you can get pretty far in this life, fellas, let me tell you.
Hey, you know, Adam, but, here's a question for you. Just looking at this thing, you know, when you're using the world golf rankings, you know, it's a good thing they didn't do this back in the day when they had bobsledding and the Jamaican bobsled team, you know, that set the world on fire at the Olympics. Because think about this for a second. I thought that the Olympics is supposed to be the gathering of, okay, all the great athletes in the sport from all the countries. So whether your country is a big powerhouse in golf or not, but it seems like it's skewed towards the PGA Tour. And it seems like, you know, what, you know, some of these countries out there don't have them, and live golfers aren't going to certainly be in the top 60. And, you know, I know that John Rahm will probably still be in because he was world number two, you know, last year. I know he's starting to drop down. But it seems kind of strange. I thought that, you know, I know it's not like the old World Cup tournaments they used to have where they had two guys from each country, you know, that have like 45 countries represented and you'd have a true World Cup. Is there going to be any controversy with this? Is there going to be anybody shut out that can't represent their country because they're a LIV golfer?
There's definitely a few guys that are on the outside looking in that do play for LIV now. That's for sure. It's interesting that you say, you know, it's skewed towards the PGA Tour. I mean, this is the first Olympics that we've had in the LIV golf era, so you know this wasn't a problem, you know, going forward. But once LIV golf pulled its application a couple weeks ago for official world golf ranking points, you know, I think it became pretty clear that this was going to be a problem for the Olympics going forward as well. if the OWGR doesn't either find a way to start draining live points or if there isn't another system to be used, yes, some live guys are going to be held out. Not many of them probably would have a strong case of playing. You could argue Brooks Koepka could maybe be in the top four for the U.S. Rahm's definitely going to be there. Cam Smith currently not representing Australia. I think that if my memory serves correct, that'll be Jason Day and Minwoo Lee. So you got to figure he would have been, you know, in the mix for that. But it is interesting that you see guys like Gavin Green from Malaysia. You know, you don't really think about him, but he's going to be playing. A couple of guys from Paraguay, a guy from Uruguay. You know, a couple of Italians that are going to be playing that really aren't doing much except, you know, over on the DP World Tour. So it is skewed a little bit towards the PGA Tour in that regard, but I think they did a really good job in order to open it up and say you can only have a max of two people outside of the top 15. That does kind of open it up for some of the other guys who come from some of those, you know, lesser known countries, like you mentioned, to get a chance to play.
One that comes to mind is Lahiri, because I watched him dominate some live events. I don't know where his invitation is.
He's currently not slated to play for India. There are a few other guys that are just ahead of him in the rankings that are there. Yeah.
Well, you're listening on the T Florida. We are live from, of course, a Valspar Championship. As I said, we are poolside at Frenchies. But the cool thing, we just heard a roar. What hole would you suppose that came from, Phil Butner, that knows this
18,
track?
18 was over here. It wasn't from that direction, so it was over here at 9.
And you've played 500 rounds. You should know your way around this track, right?
Yeah, I hope I can find your car tonight. That's how well I hope I know it.
Yeah, we need somebody young like Adam with us. You know what? Would have been funny if we picked Adam up. We look like the Beverly Hillbillies as we came onto the property today. I've got 6'6" or whatever he is, Bill Butner in the front seat, my top down, John Rager in the back, and we got our equipment. And here we are coming onto the property.
He meant by his top down, the roof of the car is what he meant by that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, when you listen to Golf on Radio, you understand that you know, there's a visual that you create. So I just wanted to make sure we have
all right. I need to paint the picture like Vin Scully did.
Hey, let's shift gears here. Let's talk about Nota Begay. You know, one of the great things that I watched last week at the Players Championship.
I love Nota, by
and I happen to know, you know, Gary Koch very well over the years. He's a member of our Florida Sports Hall of Fame. I had him on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and so he was brought back with Roger Maltby to broadcast. And when I listened to the broadcast, it was such a treat, those two. And I know that NBC is trying to, you know, do things differently, fresh appearance, fresh, you know, different players and stuff like that. So it looks like NBC is auditioning Nota Begay to be a golf announcer. So, you know, Adam, what's your take on all this? There seems to be a lot of, you know, we got Smiley Kaufman hanging out with Kevin Kisner.
I like that. That's
17th
hole. That's kind of enjoyable
at the Players Championship. And what was good, but that was great at the Phoenix Open, you know, the Waste Management Open. But the Players Championship, that seemed a little bit of a carnival kind of thing to do. What's your take on that, Adam?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence when it comes to that at the Players, because, well, I'll address that first, and then we'll go to Roger and Gary coming back. God, it was so great to have Raj calling golf again. Him just ripping darts in between, and you can tell, I mean, you can smell the cigarette smoke through the TV. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. But no, I've gotten to know Roger over the years pretty well, Gary as well, but the smiley and, you know, doing his happy hour thing at the Players, I'm kind of happy that they did it, because it does bring a different aspect to the coverage. You know, the one thing that we've always said as golf fans is show the golf, right? We want to see more golf. Well, NBC's not going to do that, because they haven't done it. They haven't put more cameras out. They refuse to show more golf. So if you're going to have a sideshow, at least do it somewhere like the 17th at Sawgrass. Because on the first round, you're curious to see where people go. When it comes to Friday and Saturday rounds, everyone's got all eyes on 17. So to have those guys calling that, it provided a different kind of flair, a different kind of, you know, pizzazz to the tournament. I thought it kind of spiced it up a little bit. But I can't understand, it's completely different than what you would get from a normal golf, you know, golf event, especially at a place like the Players. So I'm kind of happy they did it.
Hello?
It's fantastic.
Hey, did you see him absolutely cream Keith Mitchell? I think it was day one or day two he sat down with him. It was fabulous. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the fact that they have those relationships with the Players, that they're able to kind of riff like that and do that kind of stuff. I mean, I love Dan Hicks. I love Steve Sands. Like, those guys are good at their job, but they can't do that, right? They don't have those kind of relationships with the guys. And I think it's important to have that kind of part of your broadcast. And frankly, it's what NBC wanted to do. You know, I wasn't happy to break this news because I like both of those guys so much. But at the end of 22, you know, Golf Week and myself were the first to report that they weren't going to be returning in 2023. And the fact that they told both of those guys the reason they weren't coming back was because they wanted to, quote unquote, refresh the broadcast. I don't know about you guys, but that's one of the best broadcasts I've seen in a long time. And it's because Roger and Gary were back. So it just shows what a colossal mistake it was to not bring those guys back. Hearing Roger talk about it, you know, him, you know, welling up on his final call, you know, saying, I miss this, guys. I really do. This was so much fun. That was clear. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to keep doing it. He might not have wanted the same full-time schedule that he did have, but, you know, there was a way for him to still call golf, and I think it was great that they brought him back. And, you know, I just really wish that they would continue to give him a shot. As far as Noda getting a shot, it's another revolving carousel of people that they're trying to throw into this lead analyst job. The fact that he's only getting one event when, you know, Luke Donald got two, Brandel's getting two, I think it shows that, you know, he's really not a front runner for the job. But I think Noda's great as an on-course reporter. He's a great guy. He's never had any problems with me. He's always been great, giving me some pointers and tips and stuff here on the road and stuff like that. Not sure he's the guy for the job, but I'm very curious to see, you know, what he's going to be like over the weekend.
Luke Donald was boring.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my goodness. That was the most boring thing I've ever heard.
And I like Luke Donald, Northwestern Wildcat. I like
heck
that.
Heck of a rock captain, but, yeah, not much of a lead analyst, so I'll say that.
Well, an injection of humor and it goes a long ways in today's world, and that's why I do enjoy those guys sitting on the 17th and they're back and forth. It's almost like you're hanging out with them and they're sitting at a bar and giving each other, you know, a bad time.
Precisely, yeah, and I think it's, you know, for the tour to be able to reach out to that bit of a younger audience and to have a little bit more fun with it, I think it's important. I think we'll see more stuff like that. I just hope they don't overdo it and they don't kind of make a joke out of the event, because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we're not watching the PGA Tour for laughs and to be entertained. We're watching it for the golf. Now, if they can do both of those at the same time, fantastic, right? But if it's just going to be one or the other, you know, I'm glad they're kind of down the middle and they're playing it kind of on the fence between the two.
So, Adam, shifting gears, final question here. Masters is coming up. You know, we're all getting jonesy about it. We're getting ready to order our pimento cheese that you can now get delivered to your house from the Masters.
You can?
Yep.
Yes, you can.
Delivered to your house?
Oh, absolutely. You can get a Masters party pack. And, you know, for our listeners out there, before I asked Adam this question, Masters.com, and you download that app, is probably one of the best experiences online. You can watch the whole tournament on the app if you want to, but there's so many things that they do and they innovate. So the question I have is, reading your article, and you may want to share with our listeners out there, because we know that you can only buy the merchandise at the tournament. You physically have to be there or have somebody buy it for you, obviously.
Do you hear this, Bill Butner?
I'm listening, and I'm waiting to hear the delivery fees.
And we know Bill's going to the Masters next week, or no, 2 weeks from now, whenever that's coming up, right? It's coming up pretty soon. And, you know, we're putting orders in with Bill, and he's going to bring us all kinds of stuff back. He's going to check the credit line on his his major credit card there to make sure he's got enough to cover all this. But
I had a prepay.
I was reading your article. Share with our listeners how you can actually, there's another way you can get Masters merchandise without going to Augusta.
Yeah, you know, for anybody out there that likes to play daily fantasy or do stuff like that, this might be right up your alley. So the Masters Fantasy is back again this year. You're going to pick four golfers, one past champion, one U.S.-born player, one international-born player, and then a wild card pick of your choice. And they're going to have payouts for overall the top three, and then also daily prize winners as well. And you can win a bunch of Masters gear. The grand prize is valued at over like $2,000. If I'm not mistaken, you get a bunch of gear, some hats, some shirts, and then they're tiered down. So there's like, you know, wine glasses and stuff you can get, duffel bags, a bunch of different stuff. Yeah, go check it out at golfweek.com. I don't remember the full list off the top of my head, but it's a pretty cool way for Augusta to give back and kind of bring the Masters to your house. Similar, and they do, like you guys talked about earlier, with that Taste of the Masters, where you can order the barbecue, you know, the barbecue sandwich stuff. You can order the pimento cheese and all that. So it's a pretty unique thing that Augusta does, and with, you know, part of the reason that makes, you know, Masters gear so great is because, one, the logo is just one of the best in sports, bar none, and then, two, the fact that it is so exclusive, and that you have to know somebody, and I'm already getting requests from friends, and they're already sending me money for I'm a size this, send me this, and all that, so I'm right there with you guys with the pains when it comes to that for having to bring stuff home, but it's a really unique thing that Augusta's doing to give fans a chance to kind of win some stuff, and, you know, they have figured out the fan experience there, and they do it so well, better than any
Adam,
other.
We have a super fan of our show. He's one of our unique personalities, a golfer weatherman, Wild Bill Stereau. So last year, Wild Bill's family, my family, competed in because you can set up your own little league within that app. But there's one thing we realized, and even our wives got involved with this. But you can replace a player, but you have to a certain time to do it. And the wives didn't know that. And they weren't happy with it.
Fix was in.
When we just kind of let the deadline go. And I think that, and it got pretty competitive out there. And Wild Bill, I think, won it by a couple strokes out there. So we're going to definitely have a rematch this year. But for the fans out there, yeah, you can create your own little mini Augusta National Masters Golf League and in your fantasy thing and to compete. So we might have to do that with our listeners with On the Tee Florida this year. So get Bill and Mike and I, get you and a few others, and we'll be competitive there, and we'll make sure we'll tell everybody when you have to replace that player.
Well, yeah, another thing.
I love to see it, you know. Yeah, it's their fault for not reading the rules, right? It's their fault. Got to read the fine print, ladies.
It doesn't work that way when you're explaining it to them.
Hey, talking about Masters coverage, of course, the Masters website, a gentleman that we've had on a couple of times, in fact, promoting his new book, Ward Clayton. I don't know if your paths have ever crossed as well, Adam, but Ward Clayton was kind enough to help us out when we were over at Featherstone several weeks ago, and the it's almost like the LPGA Live edition, He was talking about the 22 years he's been involved with the Masters and that coverage, and that site is amazing. If you want to follow the Masters,
absolutely. Yeah, I don't know Ward that well, but I'm obviously familiar with his work from being at the Masters the last few years. But yeah, I mean, like I said, top to bottom, they have figured out the fan experience and how to get their product out to people, you know, better than anybody. Granted, they've got, you know, deeper pockets than a lot of other of these organizations that run major championships do. But they definitely put that money to good use. And, you know, I can't say it enough. If you can get there, if you have the means to do it, enter the lottery. It is truly, truly a very special place. And, you know, it's one of the best, you know, moments of my career are the, you know, the two times that I've been out there already, and looking forward to a third here in a few weeks.
No, fantastic. We're all Jones for the Masters. I mean, I'm going to start flying my Masters flag right out front of the house there. I've got all the green cups I picked up on the ground when people threw their cup on the ground after having a beer, and I grabbed it real quick before they could pick it up.
What days are you going?
I got a bunch of green cups there, and I know Bill, he's like, you know, he's made his hotel reservations. He was telling us that like a $97 room goes for like $1,200 a night now up there. So, Adam, when you go, where do you stay? Do you sleep in your car, or do you stay in like Raleigh and commute?
No, lucky enough, you know, we've had enough people at Golf Week and USA Today who go. We've had a house the last few years. Don't have as many people going down there this year, so it's a bit of a smaller house. But yeah, we got a pretty nice setup though, as far as housing and stuff goes there. But yeah, the amount of money that you have to spend for a hotel room there, you wouldn't think it'd be a whole lot in Augusta, Georgia, of all places. Not to talk bad about the great people or the great city of Augusta, but. You know, the prices definitely get ratcheted up a little bit there, you know, going, you know, before Masters Week and after, that's for sure.
Adam, I'm only talking one night. I'm talking Wednesday night, just one night, one room. I mean, come on now.
That's insane. That's insane.
But important.
If you see this 6'6" guy knocking on your door, you know it's Bill Buettner, the North Carolina Tar Heel, and now that you live in that state, he'll pull that as his hook.
Absolutely, we stick together. Tar Heels stick together.
And he'll bring his own Sharpies too.
Hey, but before we let you go, I need a a quick NCAA final.
Carolina won.
I know they beat NAI team Wagner. Hey, any chalk that went down today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they beat Wagner, but they couldn't beat the Wolfpack over at NC State, though.
Don't do that.
There you go.
I will say, I don't have a dog in the fight, but downtown Raleigh was insane that night, and I went to bed well past my bedtime after being out and taking all of that
in. You're welcome.
I bet that town was nuts, and there you are. You're a young man right in the middle of it. I bet you had a blast.
Yeah, but it proved how not young I am still after the headache that I woke up with the next day. That's for sure. I hate to be all chalk and say UConn again, but I mean, I just want to see Danny Hurley go nuts for as much as humanly possible. This is one of those tournaments where you could probably name, you know, anywhere from 8 to 16 teams that have a legitimate shot at winning. So it's tough to tell, and it's a tough bracket to pick, but. I'd hate to break it. I just don't know if Armando Bacot's a good enough big man. You know, it's not 1975 anymore. Big men don't win these tournaments, so it's going to come down to North Carolina's guard play if those Tar Heels are going to be able to do anything with it. But, I mean, that UConn team was just so consistent throughout the year. But when they were beatable, you know, they got their tails kicked. So there's a chink in that armor, that's for sure. But I say, you know, you got to beat the guys that are still on top of the mountain. So I'd hate to go all chalk, but... I mean, purely just to see Danny Hurley go nuts for a few more games. I would love to see that on the sideline.
Well, you just mentioned that, you know, big men don't win championships now, and that's why I certainly, and I'm a Big Ten guy, I certainly don't feel that Purdue will, by any stretch of the imagination, be cutting down the nets this year. You know, they get close, and they sit on top in the top position in the poll the last couple of years with the big man there, but I don't see them winning the championship either.
And before I go, I want to give two quick shout-outs. My Akron Zips winning the MAC, but losing today, that was tough to see. I'm a proud Northeast Ohioan, so I love to do that. Love to see that. But related to that, former Akron coach, former LeBron High School coach, Keith Dambrot over at Duquesne, awesome to see them win today. So another shout-out to a Northeast Ohio guy. But, man, it's just so cool. And like his wife is battling cancer. He's stepping away to go take care of her. So if they can go on a little bit of a run here, I think that would just be awesome to see. And that seems pretty fun to watch, too, if you guys were able to catch any of that. If you weren't, check out the highlights, because that was a fun one today with them.
You gave me goosebumps because I've been following that story, and I didn't think they'd get by him. But bravo on that. And I know LeBron just loves that guy and says, you know, a lot of his work ethic was because of that coach in high school.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I used to go to a lot. I went to a lot of those games when he was in high school, you know, just growing up down the street from St. Vincent, St. Mary. I got to see LeBron a lot. You know, I knew about him when he was 13 years old.
So you did? In high school you did?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's obviously older than me. And I was in, you know, elementary school when he was in high school. But, you know, we used to go and see his games whenever he would play in the state. And, you know, even after his freshman year, they weren't allowed to play They chose not to play in their high school gym because it's such a tiny little school. You know, in West Akron, you know, they had too many people that wanted to go watch him, and they used to regularly sell out the University of Akron's arena for a high school game. And I can't tell you the last time that it sold out that arena when it wasn't senior night. So those were the days watching LeBron do that back in the day. But it was a fun trip down memory lane to see Coach Dambrot winning on the sidelines today.
Well, he's the multi-talented Adam Woodward. He is the assistant editor at Golf Week magazine. Kind enough to spend some time with us today. Have a great weekend. Enjoy March Madness, and I'll be talking to you soon, my man.
Bummed I couldn't come down and party with you guys this week, but distance makes the heart go fonder. So next time I can actually get down there, it'll be twice as good and twice as fun. Enjoy the Valspar, boys, and watch the tournament when you can. And we'll talk soon. All right.
I'll say one more time. Poolside Frenchies. I'm just painting a picture for you, my man. All right. Have a great weekend. And again, thanks for taking time to join us. Let's take a quick break. Come back and the three of us will kick some things around. We got the John Rager report. We've got Wild Bill's weather reports. Probably do that right here from the Valspar Championship, where right now it's perfect weather. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the On the Tee Florida, live from the Valspar Championship. As I keep saying, we are poolside at Frenchie's, right by number 9, number 10, number 18. All within walking distance.
All within sight, too. I can see the tower on 18. I can see the tee on number 10 over there. So we're very close.
All within earshot, as they say, because we keep hearing the galleries. And it's a great day up here, day number one. And, of course, it's not a signature event, but it certainly is in this community. The impact it has on it when you got a Rondé Barber who... I tell you what, his interview yesterday on the Golf Channel. By the way, I'm joined by, of course, John Rager and Bill Butner to my right. I'm the hack, Mike Rickard. And I tell you what, who didn't hack it up, and he doesn't hack it up. He's such a talented young man, he and his brother. But Rondé Barber on the Golf Channel, you can just see his communication skills and on every topic. You know, he's fluid. He's back and forth, and he's got content, and he delivers, and he's a good-looking man. He's got a bright, bright future for the rest of his life as a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's always been a golfer, and I remember my years at the Pro-Am. He would play in that Pro-Am, the Champions Tour event, where the amateurs actually play all 3 days with the Champions Tour pros. And so, he's been playing in that for years, and I can tell you that it takes a person like that and many others to be on the Copperheads. That's the civic group of people that join together, and they're the ones who raise the money to make this tournament work for the Pro-Am and the sponsorships and the hospitality suites and the tickets and things like that. So it's glad to see him giving back to the community, and it was really wonderful to see him in the Hall of Fame. Hey, it's a timely matter. We're sitting at the pool right now at Frenchie's at the Valspar Championship. And it's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, and I'll tell you why, because there's something going to be happening to this tournament this weekend that's going to make a significant impact now that we have gone to the Weather Channel. So time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Trank, extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they're fishing. So it's going to be raining here tonight, everybody. I mean, we'll be out of here before it starts raining. But checking the forecast here in Palm Harbor, it feels like 72 degrees, humidity's 55%. Winds out of the northwest, 3 miles an hour. However, starting at 8 p.m., 40% chance of rain, and all through the night, 90% chance of rain at 1 a.m., and then leading into the tournament tomorrow morning, 60-70% chance of rain, and we're talking all the way up to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then calling for more rain this weekend. So, and it may not be a gully washer like we saw at Pebble Beach this year, when you'd have Wyndham Clark shoot 60 the third round and they had to cancel the fourth round. But rain will impact this golf course because it is soft. It is long. So anyway, that's the Wild Bill Golf Weather Report brought to you by Yank and Crank. Go to yankandcrank.com/myshopify.com and buy a hat.
buy a hat from Wild Bill, and he'll be sending us some apparel. We'll be giving a lot of it away, swag, all spring and summer long down at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And as you take a look at this weather, the impact it'll have, Bill Butner, on this course, how does it deal with rain?
Well, it's a very good golf course for drainage.
Gotcha.
The only problem that the rough is going to be wet, so...
And it's thick.
It's thick, so you better be a straight hitter, and it'll be a big advantage if you hit in the fairway. Greens will be receptive, so they'll be starting to spin back, and you'll start to see lower and lower scores.
You know, several of the notables backed out at the last minute. Do you think a lot of that was they saw the weather forecast? Because that'll wear you down, right?
I don't think it was the weather. I just, you know, obviously there's so many things going on personally in their lives that they warranted not playing.
Well, you do have, again, they just came off two signature events. I think the next week after this, they go to Texas, and then you've got the Masters coming up here. And, they've got to pace themselves and play in the certain tournaments at certain times to gear up for the Masters. Hey, but, you know, now since it's near the end of the show here, I want to give you the John Rager Report. It's on the Tee Florida. Not only will you find a weekly report about golf, travel, and lifestyle, you can now listen to the archives on RadioSt.Pete.com and FloridaSportsStreams.com, YouTube, and the Mic'd Up Social. Follow the John Rager Report on social media on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. And if you visit johnragergolf.com or on the tfloridagolf.com, you'll keep up with the latest news and updates in the world of golf. So I try to do something unique, something different. Something
unique, John.
Thank you very much. I'm just proud to be here. but do something that you normally wouldn't see on a normal golf report. So in the media center today, I picked up this sheet of paper because I was curious. You know, we're walking around today looking at the players, and normally on the back of the caddy bib, you just have the person's last name. Right? Well, this particular event decided to let the players put anything they want.
I wondered what that was.
On the back of the
bib. When we were watching Zach and Xander and those guys, and I saw the bibs, I wondered what the hell that was.
Now, you know, there's some of the players, you know, are pretty sharp. And so they're social media minded because they have that pool of money that how you do on social media.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The more exposure, impressions, and followers you get. So you have, you know, Stuart Sink, at Stuart Sink. So you type that in, you Google, type that in, it'll bring you to whatever social
media.
That's
on the caddy's bib then,
yeah,
right?
And most of them are like on X. You know, some of them Instagram and X and stuff like that. At Eric Cole, at Austin Cook, golf. So these are kind of normal.
I wondered what the hell that was about.
Okay, and then you have, and even your boy Zach Johnson from Iowa has at the...
Go Bulldogs, go Hawks, what do you have?
At the ZJ Foundation, so it's
come on,
the Kids
Zach.
On Course program.
Old Drake Bulldogs and Hawks sounds better.
And, and then you got some, you know, crass, capitalists out here like Francesco Molinari at Chico Golf, so he must be having a little contract with it. But then you start diverting into a lot of different things. So Joel Damon, he's a popular guy out there, okay? You know, he wears kind the bucket hat out there.
Yeah,
he's self-deprecating.
He looks like grumpy old man.
Got a huge following. You know, he's a joy to follow on the social media. On his caddy bib was Leaping Cougar, and it doesn't give an explanation.
Maybe he was out last night, ran into some ladies.
Cougar.
Maybe he ran into some ladies last night at the lounge. At Snappers,
BYU,
where you were at.
BYU, was he at? Where did he play college golf?
He's not a Cougar. Cougars would be Houston.
Could be Houston
Cougars.
So now you have here's something kind of suspicious here. Lee Hodges is Big Meds.
Big Meds. Big Pharma.
I'm not sure what that's all about. And then you got Garrick Higo, Higoponymous. Okay, so that makes sense.
maybe he has. Does he have some hippopotamus gear?
Now, earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about the cutesy names that you're starting to embellish now. You're starting to get into,
Sneds, my man Sneds.
Your man Sneds, right? You know, we're going to play at the Riv. Your man Sneds, right? So on the caddy bib on a couple of these guys, they've got it, too. They've got, we take a look down here. Kevin Kisner, what do you think his is on the back?
Kiz my ass.
It's just Kiz, baby. K-I-Z.
Just Kiz. K-I-Z?
It's Kiz.
He's all kind right. of a cool cat. I didn't like him at first, but he's got a dry sense of humor with a golf delivery.
So we take a look at some of them. Troy Merritt is 24 carat. So I'm not sure where
24
that came
carat,
from. 24
carat?
But no explanation.
Troy Merritt. Yeah. It rolls right off your tongue.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Come on, man.
We got a couple
tongue.
Others
Think
here.
Think like we'll, a marketer.
We'll roll through here. And
24 carat, Troy Merritt.
Take a look here. There's a really good one here. I saw this. Robert McIntyre. All right. He's the
he
English
came right
golfer.
In front of us, yeah.
Robert McIntyre played on the Ryder Cup team. His caddy bib says, EUR, which stands for Europe. It's the short for Europe.
Thank you.
16.5-11.5 USA.
Wow.
Ow.
Whoa.
Ow.
Now, talk
you know,
about
we were,
Ryder Cup.
Now, we were trashing Luke Donald for his performance on the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's a great guy, great player, just so boring on television. But he was still wearing a Ryder Cup tie. Luke Donald, because the captain of the European team.
He is dry. He's very dry.
But you know what you do? I mean, you know, when you win that, you got 2 years. You got 2 years just to
rub it in your face.
Pound it in there. Okay. Hey, K.H. Lee, Mr. Incredible. Not
That's
sure
what
where that came
on there?
From. Not sure. Maybe that came from some of the ladies in the gallery or something like that. I don't
know. I like Leaping Cougar.
Leaping Cougar. Okay.
Let's go find some Leaping Cougars.
Roger
tonight,
Sloan is Uncle Roy. Uncle Roy.
Uncle Roy.
Okay. So, you know.
What's that? It sounds like chew.
And
some chewing tobacco.
We'll go
give me a swig of that Uncle Roy.
And so here's the final one. Carson Young. There's a Cameron Young.
Yeah.
And a Carson Young.
Yeah.
So Carson put on the back of his bib, the other C. Young. Because, you know, when they put their names on the back, traditionally, they put the first initial and then the last name, right? So he's the other C. Young. So anyway, so those are that's the John Regg Report.
That's a good segment, buddy. You just came up with on the fly.
Yeah, if you follow social media, you know, we post out there on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. So go visit us at On the Tee Florida Golf or at John Regg Golf, and we'll come up with something wild and funky for next week.
Couple of things quickly. Number one, as soon as we get done here, we're going to hurry, scurry, gather the equipment, and we're going right across the street, essentially, you know, a couple blocks away, to Snapper's Comedy Shop and our own Kerry McNally. Of course, he's our resident comedian, does a superb job of impersonating the characters in Caddyshack and Tin Cup and, of course, Happy Gilmore. So it's going to be a golf-themed comedy half hour that he has be standing up. So looking forward to that, fellas.
Well, we only had one parking pass.
You were there
pass.
Last night. We picked you up. To, you know.
Yeah, well, we only had one parking pass. We had to pick Bill up at Snappy's, right? Or Snappers.
Snappers.
It's called Snappers, right? So
he's looking snappy today.
But we only had the one media parking pass, so we had to try to carpool. So Bill, you know, parked his car there. And he parked in the headliner of the comedy show, obviously, is Kerry McNally, our cast of Humor Squad, right? He parked in his space. It said reserved for tonight's headliner, Kerry McNally. Bill parked right in the space. So I'm not sure if your car's even going to be there when we get back there for the show tonight.
We'll be lucky to find Mike's car. Let's start with the beginning.
Yeah, let's start how we're getting out of here, first of all. Yeah. Hey, and by the way, Joel Bordeaux just let me know that he enjoyed the broadcast so far, if we don't butcher it, the last 10 minutes. And we're going to be tomorrow at noon on Sunshine 96.7 FM. On the RadioSaintPete.com platform. We'll be airing on RadioSaintPete.com and Radio St. Pete. And then, of course, our sports channel, and that's Florida Sports Streams. And you can listen if you missed part of the show and you just tuned in, archive it. And, of course, we're broadcasting live on our flagship right down in Clearwater, just a few miles away, 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa, Clearwater, and St. Pete. And as I said, Matt on the controls doing a great job.
Hey, you know, let's talk, since we talked baseball earlier, we talked basketball, let's go back to baseball since we're at the end of the show here. Let's talk about opening day with the Rays and Fergs. And all that coming up, because that's a really big deal, not only for Fergs, not only for the Rays, but for
remember the old ketchup commercial, anticipation, sang by Carly Simon. That's exactly what I say this time of year is in the world of baseball. The anticipation of you know, the season starting, everybody's got high hopes. They've been to spring training, they've been to all the parks, their respective teams that they follow. There's always that anticipation that maybe this is the year. Maybe we're going to be successful. No one would have thought that the Rays last year would have had the start that they had. Well, anticipation this year is probably at an all-time high because really don't know what they got this year.
Well, they've lost a lot in my mind.
Oh, big time. You know, when Wander Franco, who knows what's going on in his future. When you lose, arguably, you know, well, first of all, Sugar Shane McClanahan, he's done for the year, the USF standout. He was your ace. Tyler Glasnow is now pitching for the Dodgers. Talk about loading up with arms. And, you know, it is an arms race. And
so what day's opening day?
No, but it is. Next Thursday, a week from today.
What
the
time?
28th, 3:30, first pitch.
Oh, so 3:30, so you could come by Ferg's and
come on
golf
by.
Balls in the golf simulator on the way to the game or after the game.
We will have the golf simulators on upstairs. We've got two of them in the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio. And come and hit some balls because it's going to be a party. We've got three or four food trucks. We've got live music. We've got two bands. We'll be doing a show. Joe Bordeaux and I will be outside doing a live show as we did last year. Had a lot of fun doing that. As I mentioned, Rick Vaughn will be coming by. Toby Hall, former catcher, and he's
Toby.
You know Tobe?
Very much so.
Great guy, isn't he?
Great guy, yeah.
He was with the White Sox, and then he finished his career with the Rays. Gives back to the community. I tell you what, I thoroughly enjoy it. And his young son is having success. I think he's in Double-A now. And so he follows him closely. And in fact, Toby had gone back and coached some minor league two summers ago with his son in as part of that as
now,
well.
Now, is March 28th an early opening day date? Because I saw where I think...
Well, compared to back in the old days...
Well, their last spring training game is like the 26th.
It's Tuesday. In fact, Monday and Tuesday, the Michigan Sports Network, who were partners of mine last year, came down for the Detroit Tigers opening game. They have 19 stations up in Michigan, and they will be down at Ferg's, and I'll be helping them out. They'll be doing their shows live because the 26th, the last spring game, is at the Trop. And so, you know, it won't be a huge crowd, but all the Tiger fans and these guys are going to come down and broadcast, and they did a superb job. So that's just around the corner, Monday and Tuesday. The show was huge, and this guy is superb. He's a radio pro. It's great radio, and I'm sure you can download it and listen to us while we fumble, stumble. Well, I fumble, stumble, and bumble, but Bill is a superb broadcaster. So a lot going on at Ferg's. You would not recognize the place right now if you came down, guys, out back.
Painting.
As much as Mark has done, it's phenomenal. The growth is superb. We're making big announcements on the high school side of our world as we partnered with Primetime Preps. We're going to have more and more high school gatherings down there. Live entertainment every night.
Do they still have the pirate ship?
Yeah, the pirate ship's back in the
corner. Well, that's
back in the corner. Well, the pirate ship's got kind of pushed to the side because of all of the construction that's taking place. Brand new kitchen. I mean, enormous modifications to the back, which are much more eye appealing and a smoother flow in the back for the fans coming through. Because opening day, I mean, we'll have 5,000 people coming through there. But anytime there's a series, Red Sox, Yankees, Phillies, a team that doesn't come to town very often, let's say Dodgers, you'll have 3,000-4,000 strong coming through there before they.
Oh
go
no,
there.
It's incredible! He's got the world's largest.
It's crazy.
He's got the world's largest portalette back there. I mean, I mean, he's taking care of all the details. But anyway, opening day is kind of fun. I recall maybe a year or two ago that Mark Ferguson, who we call Ferg, actually threw out the first pitch of a game.
Yeah, he did that in September, and I tell you what, he played some JUCO ball down in Fort Myers, and then he went to Lakewood, and he was a Spartan, and then he went up to Florida State. But he stays in shape, and I tell you what, he was practicing for almost a month on the mound and throwing to his son Jake behind the scenes, and he threw a strike, and it was a blast. It was cool. Really cool.
That's pretty cool. So Valspar Championship, we're out here following the PGA Tour broadcast.
What's the top of that leaderboard before we go?
Oh, top of the leaderboard. Well, I'm going to pull that up. So I'm effacing that as we speak right now.
I'm looking forward to Adam Svensson because I'm going to pick Adam Svensson right now. He got off to a good start.
That's your horse for this course?
He's a Division II player. I saw him play a lot when I was coaching. And
Say he went to Barry University?
He went to Barry University and dominated our conference, and he's continued on to get better and better. He nearly won a couple times.
Hey, how the Akron guys doing now that you've stepped away? How the men do this year?
Men are still having struggles getting going. The girls are still a little bit better than the guys.
Well, the girls have scholarship money, and the men still don't. People don't realize the impact that has.
That's a huge difference. And
you had to recruit with that obstacle around your neck.
It was quite a long recruiting war.
Hey, next broadcast, we need to probably let Bill talk about the development of the golf team at Ecker College as the first golf coach. So we'll, because it's a good half of the show to be able to talk about.
Well, it's great history. I know that Tom Ryan and everybody appreciate, you know, I usually give you a bad time, but they respect you and everything you've done over there.
We were talking earlier about that, and it was fascinating. So we'll dedicate half the show to that next week. Hey, I just came up with a trivia question, actually.
We could have a trivia show.
Who was a winner in the J.C. Penney Classic when it was here from 1977 to 1999, and a member of that team, which is a male, obviously, also won this tournament when it converted to the PGA Tour event. Who was the only person that did that?
I was going to say Freddie Couples had won the J.C. Penney, and John Daly's won the J.C. Penney.
Well, Freddie Couples on his bag was the growler, Lynn Strickler.
Yeah, but
we had last week.
He never did win the tournament here, so I'm trying to think who that would be. Wow.
You stumped him.
And you should know this, too.
Oh, not Gary Koch. Don't tell me.
Not Gary Koch.
I'm trying to think why I should know that.
You should.
We only have 4 minutes
Davis
left.
Davis Love. Go Heels. Okay.
It's John Houston.
My boy, John Houston.
You guys, you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. In fact, tell us a little, that quick story. You played an exhibition here.
Played an exhibition with Greg and Jay Overton.
Greg Norman.
And John, the four of us went out, played skins game, and it was awesome because Greg dominated and shot 67, won most of the skins except for a few that I stole away from him on the 18th hole.
Bravo.
It wasn't just a
normal
steal.
I'm not a Norman guy. I'm so proud of you.
It's a spectacular steal. Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, we had a three-hole carryover, so we went to the backside bunker, and it was a hard shot, and I was third in line to hit and pulled it and looked up at Greg, and it was all over.
Anytime Greg Norman has a failure.
Hey, what other buttons you have on that board? That's pretty good.
Toys over here.
Yeah, we need more sound effects on this. That was fantastic.
Well, I'm not bright enough to see there's nine there, and that's just one is.
Make sure you know what button you're pushing.
Yeah. That's applause for you guys and the job you did today, and now you have a challenge ahead of you. Yes. Get me out of here.
No, finding the car.
I know. I said get me out of here.
We can get you out of here. We can call the cops. That's no problem.
Mike drives a convertible. Did you put the top up?
No.
Oh my goodness. About to rain.
It won't rain. Not yet.
Wow.
Well, I'm having no inside redone, so it doesn't really matter. But it'd be nice if it didn't get filled with water. All right, well, gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun today. I didn't know we were going to be live from a poolside, but it's been kind of interesting, huh?
Different, a lot different than the Fergs.
19th hole clubhouse.
Yeah.
But entertaining as it always is. John, appreciate you coming down from St. Augustine Beach. And, of course, you had a great night last night over in Tampa at the J.C. Newman Cigar Factory with the baseball bourbon and cigars event for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And you, my friend.
I skipped 9-1 just to make sure that you could.
Yeah, hey, I saw something earlier. You're never skipping 9-1 again. I happened to see one of the young ladies that wants your services.
Yes.
And not your services.
Well,
I teach golf lessons.
Our services, according to the state of Florida. That's why you don't pay sales tax on it. So I know golf lessons are a service.
Are you serious?
Thank you.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Saved my butt, I can tell you that.
I did not know that. All right, from the Valspar Championship, has been a great day, and I want to thank everybody for helping us, the staff that helped us, and the guys in the media room, for John Rager, Bill Butner, Adam Woodard, of course,